ISKCON founder Acharya Shri Prabhupada ki jai, Anjapati Vaishnava Vrinda ki jai, Namacharya Shri Haridasa Thakur Prem Shri Kaur Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Dvaita Gadadhar Shri Vasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda ki jai, Shri Shri Radha Krishna Gaur Gopina Shyamakunda Radha Kunda Giri Govardhana ki jai, Vrinda Vrindam ki jai, Turidam ki jai, Maipuram ki jai, Puridam ki jai, Gangamaya Jamuna Devi ki jai. All glories to the Ascended. All glories to Sri Guru and Guru. All glories to Sri Prabhupada. Shri Ma Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasadaya Vijaya. Shri Mati Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namane Namaste Saraswati Devi. Gauravani Vacharani Vasesa Sandhavani Paskachari Satyami. Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Vichalapada Kamalam Shri Guru and Vaishnava Astra. Shri Rupam Sagarajatam Sagana Raghunatam Gitam Samasajivam Sadvaitam Sadvajitam Parichana Sarita Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sagana Raghunatam Shri Vichakam Gitam Shri And Shri Kapa Chupas Chakra Vasindriya Chapa Jai Jai Shri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda
Jai Jai Shri Chaitanya Jaya
Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda
Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda
Jaya Jaya Shri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda
Jaya Jaya Shri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda
Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda
Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda
So 28th of September 2014 in Radhadesh, Belgium, and we're reading from Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Majjhalila, Chapter 23, Life's Ultimate Goal, Text 58, 59, and 60, and at 60, that is on 4. So, 58 is Adibuddha Mahabhava, Dvita Parkara, Samboge Madana Virahe Mohana Namatara. Translation. Highly advanced ecstasy is divided into two categories, madana and mohana. Meeting together is called madana, and separation is called mohana. What's the literal meaning of madana? Well, here it's a term for coming together, but what does it literally mean? Do you know?
The one belongs to madana.
That's a really good guess. No, but it's a good guess.
Honey?
Yes, it refers to honey or wine even. So something that's intoxicating. So the meeting between Krishna and his devotees, it's like an intoxicant. And mohana? What is the literal meaning of mohana? Good guess.
Someone who wins hearts.
Not a good guess. Illusion. Madana can also be madness. Madness and illusion. Meeting is called madness and separation is called illusion. Okay, text 59. Madana kumban arihaya ananta viveya udgura chittajalpa mohana dvi veda. On the madana platform, there are kissing and many other symptoms which are unlimited. In the mohana stage, there are two divisions, udgurna, unsteadiness, and chittajalpa, varieties of mad emotional talks. Report for further information, see Majjhalila 187. And what's on the board, text 60. Chitra Jalpera Dasa Anga Prajapadi Nama. Ramara Gitra Dasa Shoketaha Te Pramana. Canto 10, that we have chapter 47 in it.
I have Kindle.
Yeah, I have Kindle too, but it's a lot more awkward. All right, thank you. All right, let's look at what this would mean before we read the word for word. So, already in text 58, we heard of the Adibuddha Mahabhava, the highly advanced ecstasy, and it had two divisions, which was in text. It would be chapter 47. So if you could find that. Maybe if you could find in chapter 47 also the first verse where Radhani is talking to the bee, that would be very helpful. Okay, so what were the two divisions of the Aniruddha Mahabhava?
Madana
and Mohana. So that's given in text 59. Madane and Mohane. Then Mohane in text 57 has Dvi Veda. Two divisions. Udgurna and Chitra Jalpa. So Udgurna is unsteadiness and Chitra Jalpa is? Jalpa is?
Talking.
So, mad emotional talks. Is it
there? There is no chapter 47.
Well, there is a chapter 47 in the 10th canto because it goes up to chapter 90. So. Well, that means it's in another volume. Well, there's obviously a part three.
Yes.
See? The 10th canto goes up to chapter 90, so there has to be a chapter 47. There's no way there could not be a chapter 47. Okay, so let's look at today's verse. It says Chitra Jalpa, so in reference to Chitra Jalpa, Dasa Anga. What do you think that means?
10 limbs.
10 limbs. Okay. Prajalpadi Nama. Named Prajalpa Adi. Prajalpa and so on. Brahmada Gita. What is the Brahmada Gita? Song of the Bumblebee, yes. Dasha Shloka in the 10 slokas. So there's Dasha Anga are in the Dasha Shlokas. So the 10 limbs of Chitra Jalpa are in the 10 slokas of the Brahmada Gita. Tahaite Pramana. A Pramana is a
evidence.
So the evidence is given in the 10 slokas of the Brahmada Gita. Okay, we'll do the word for word, Prabhupada's word for word. Chitra Jalpera. Of the mad talks. Dasha.
Ten.
Anga.
Parts.
Prajalpa Adi Nama. Name Prajalpa and so on.
Ramada
Gitara.
Of
Radharani's talks with the bumblebee.
Srimad
Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 47.
Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter
47. Dasha Shloka.
Dasha Shloka.
10 verses.
10 verses.
Tahate.
Tahate.
In that matter.
In that matter.
Pramana.
The evidence.
Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. Mad emotional talks include 10 divisions called Prajalpa and other names. An example of this is the 10 verses spoken by Srimati Radharani called the Brahmana Gita or the Song to the Bumblebee. Purport. Imaginative mad talks known as Chitra Jalpa can be divided into 10 categories. Prajalpa, Parijalpa, Vijalpa, Ujjalpa, Sanjalpa, Abhajalpa, Adijalpa, Ajalpa, Pratijalpa, and Sujalpa. There are no English equivalents for these different features of Jalpa. Oh, well, we're going to get into Rupa Goswami's definition. Chitra Jalpera Dasa Anga Prajalpadi Nama Brahmara Gitara Dasha Shloka Tahate Pramana. Well, Madana, intoxication, Mohana, illusion, and Prajalpa. Sounds pretty bad, huh? Isn't that what we're trying to get away from? Isn't that what we're trying to stop? Prajalpa Niyamagraha, right? That's right, right in the beginning of the Upadeshamrita, of the Nectar of Instruction, we're told that one of the problems in bhakti is prajalpa. What does prajalpa mean?
Useless
talk. Did you know it's sounded? So has so and so had an affair, and do you think they're going to get divorced? And you know what this movie star did? You know what this sports star did? That's prajalpa.
right? Useless, or also it's called Dramikata, village talk. A completely useless waste of time. And not only useless, like Raghunath Das Goswami. So Rupa Goswami, the same Rupa Goswami, same Rupa Goswami, who says Prajalpa, right here, this whole section, by the way, parallels Ujjwalamilamani, also written by Rupa Goswami. So same Rupa Goswami who's talking about Prajalpa, of course here's Mahaprabhu talking to Sanatana Goswami. He also says, don't talk Prajalpa. And then Raghunath Das Goswami also says, don't talk Prajalpa. In his Manashiksha, he talks about how this Prajalpa is like a prostitute. So what does a professional prostitute do? She says, oh, you're going to have fun with me, but all she cares about is your money. I will love you, but she doesn't love you. She just loves your money. Right? We all have friends like this who, you know, they pretend they like us, but they really want something from us. Right? You ever met people like that? They pretend that they like you and they want to serve you, but actually they just want to take something from you. So Prajalpa is like that. It appears to be wonderful. It appears to be interesting. What percentage would you say of the internet blogs and newspapers are filled with Prajalpa?
99.99.
That's a good random guess there, okay? Anyway, I'm sure it's at least 80%. It's just filled with completely, completely useless. When we had our Gurukul library, you want to find the verses, Bikram, where she starts talking to the bee.
Which text is it?
I don't know the text number. You couldn't find the text
number? I
was
doing the whole chapter.
Oh, let me see. 47, you looking?
Yeah, 47.
Let's see if we can find it. Sorry, I was giving these verses late. Okay, well, it's not going to be after Uddhava departs, is it? Okay, so Uddhava's talking. It's all about Uddhava. Please hear your beloved's message. And he's giving them philosophy. And they say, do you remember? Does Krishna remember us? You're right. It's very hard to find.
How come you didn't get the text number?
Because I was working on this until about 9:30 last night. I just come here. Yesterday. Ah, here we go. Look at that. We got it. Yeah. So why is it that the same Prajalpa that's condemned by Rupa Goswami and condemned by Raghunath Das Goswami as stealing away, it's not only useless, but it steals away the jewels in the heart. It steals away your love for Krishna. Whatever we talk about and we think about is what we become. Yam yam bhavi saram bhavam. It's not unimportant. It's not that our identity is separate from what we talk about and what we think about and what we do. It's what forms our identity, whether it's a false identity or our real identity. And it's what takes away from our wanting to be with Krishna. But here we have, right in this, and Mohan and Madana, these are also the bad qualities that are supposed to be given up. Again, if we look at Manashiksha, and Raghunath Das Goswami is talking about destroying the six enemies. You know, lust, anger, envy, greed, illusion, and madness. And here they are. Illusion and madness. So what is this? And therefore, this bhakti is very hard to understand. It's very hard to understand. I'm just now reading in Chaitanya Charitamrita where Prakasananda Sarasvati says that Mahaprabhu is a sentimentalist. So you can see why many people look at these descriptions of bhakti and think, well, they're just sentimental materialists. You know, if you really want to become spiritual, then you have to become equipoised. Free from illusion, free from madness, free from prajalpa. Just become silent. And this is neutrality. And this is generally the goal of karma yoga. Sometimes karma yoga people want to go to heaven. or Jnana Yoga, certainly. And many times also the goal of Dhyana Yoga or meditation. Let me just stop everything. This prajapa is causing me problems. This illusion and madness is causing. Let's just stop it. Become neutral. And most of the people in the world who consider themselves very spiritual, they're interested in that. They're interested in the sattva-gun or maybe the brahman of just, you know, peace, compassion, forgiveness. And compared to the turmoil of rajagun and tamagun, I mean, most religions in the world preach rajagun. Be a good person, you know, do your duty, follow the rules of the scriptures, and then you can take it, have heaven on earth, or maybe you can go to heaven. So, but that's full of turmoil. So one wants to get rid of this turmoil and be peaceful. And then we're saying, wait a minute, there's something above this peace. There's something above peace and equanimity and being equipoised. Right? Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita goes on and on in the second chapter, 14th chapter, particularly throughout the Bhagavad Gita, about being equipoised, seeing pebbles, stone, and gold as the same, seeing friends, enemies, and the neutral with an equal mind. Not being disturbed by happiness and distress. Not being disturbed by happiness and distress. So when Madhavendra Puri was leaving his body and he was experiencing this separation, and he's saying, I haven't attained Mathura, what did his disciple Ramachandra Puri say to him? Why are you lamenting?
Think of Brahma.
Think of Brahma. He said, Brahma Bhuta Prasadatma, not Sochatina Kanchatina. Sama. Become sama. Become equal to this sochati and kanchati, happiness and distress. And here we're finding what is life's ultimate goal? Happiness and distress. The happiness of meeting Krishna, the distress of being separate from Krishna, and the distress of being separate from Krishna so much that one starts talking to bumblebees. I mean, what would you do if you went outside in the garden and somebody was talking to a bumblebee? I know you're a messenger from Krishna. You've come from Gopinath. You'd wonder about that, wouldn't you? You'd say, you know, a good psychiatrist in the town. And indeed, people thought like that about Lord Chaitanya. They really did. They thought he's madman. In fact, it's described even after Krishna left Vrindavan. The residents were considered to be crazy. Mother Yasoda, Radharani, they were considered to have gone mad. So how fascinating. These verses here, which is also quite interesting, these verses are Mahaprabhu speaking to Sanatan Goswami. But if you want to find the expansion of these verses, you have to go not to the works of Sanatan Goswami, but to the works of Rupa Goswami. So this whole section of Chaitanya Charitamrita, if you want to find what are the details, you would look in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, and then here, Ujjwala Nilamani. Ujjwala Nilamani, Ujjwala means brilliant, Nila Mani means the jewel, Mani is a jewel, Nila, the blue jewel or the sapphire, the brilliant sapphire. And Ujjwala Nilamani takes the same categories that are described in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Saibhav, Vibhav, Anubhav, Satvikabhav, and describes them only in relationship to the Madhurya or Sringara Rasa. So in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Rupa Goswami is explaining these different five categories of rasa and the different rasas in relationship to all of the rasas, in relationship to Shantaras, Dasyaras, Vatsalyaras, Sakyaras, and Madhuryaras. But then he has a whole other book. Bhadaswami's just published a translation, and it's about this thick. So he has a whole other book just expanding into Madhurya Ras. He gives much, 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 much more detail about Madhurya Ras and about the other rasas. Presumably that was at least partially because he himself is in Madhurya Ras. He's Rupa Manjari, of course. So you can find these verses parallel. In fact, if you go back here just a little bit, to what I assume was the verse all of you read last Sunday, Srila Prabhupada references in text 57, the Adiruddha ecstasies are explained in Ujjvala Mani, Sai Baba, Prakarana 170. And then what we'll be reading next Sunday talks about this is explained in Ujjvala Mani, Vipralamba, Prakarana 3 to 4. So the verses for today are finishing up the Sai Baba section of the Ujjvala Mani. And it's particularly, if you're interested to look it up, it's verses 171 to 228. So there's a lot of Ujjvala Nila Mani that's not in Chaitanya Charitamrita. Again, it just gives the basic, like here Prabhupada's just listing the Sanskrit names and saying, I can't translate them. And Rupa Goswami gives a verse for each of them, which he doesn't exactly translate them, but he explains them. So that's not here in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. I do find it also of note that everything is here in Srila Prabhupada's books, and that we distribute these books to the general public. So I find that quite interesting. You know, sometimes devotees ask me, well, do I absolutely have to first read Bhagavad Gita and Ishopanishad and then read the whole Bhagavatam and then read the whole Krishna book and then read the whole CC? You know, do I absolutely have to go in that order? And I say, well, I don't know. You know, in 1973, I was at the Chicago airport, and we were distributing books, right? And then later, when the Chaitanya Charitamrita came out in 74, we were distributing this book, you know, Manjulila 23. What to speak of Manjulila, Part 5, which is, as far as I'm concerned, is the most esoteric of all Srila Prabhupada's books. We were distributing them just to ordinary people in the airports. We weren't even saying to them, excuse me, are you a vegetarian? Well, there was no prerequisite. Right? Excuse me, do you believe in God? I was just reading yesterday, Chaitanya Charitamrita, how the Prabhupada was saying that the Americans, Europeans, etc., even though they were impersonalists, they were not offensive, and therefore, as soon as they heard this knowledge, they took to it. He said, whereas the Mayavadis, the very strict Mayavadi sannyasis in India, who are really, you know, sleep on the bare ground and so forth, they would never eat the prasadam that we're going to be serving in a little bit, that they were offenders. They were saying God has no eyes, no hands, and therefore they couldn't chant the name of Krishna. Whereas for people like me, you know, we could be given Chaitanya Charitamrita in an airport. So that's pretty astonishing. So I thought we would look at this a little bit from Ujjvala Nila Mani. The life beyond equanimity. What is the life beyond equanimity? So I don't pretend that I understand this, but I thought I would at least share some of it with everyone here. As much as we can understand it, maybe we can get a little fragments from a distance of what is the nature of the spiritual world. Because our process, my dear friends, is not karma yoga or jnana yoga or dhyana yoga. That is not our process. Our process is not negation. Process is not negation. Our process is attachment. Maya shakta manaparta, to become attached to Krishna. Our process is not so much detachment from Maya. Detachment from Maya happens as a natural concomitant factor when one becomes attached to Krishna. Isn't it? Therefore, it said, one who reads these pastimes naturally becomes free from material lust. If we want to become free from hankering over, you know, whatever we hanker over in this world, the perfect spouse, or the perfect pair of shoes, or whatever it is that we particularly hanker after, or whatever we lament over, that I didn't get the perfect spouse, or I didn't get the perfect pair of shoes. If we want to become free from that and come to peace, then our solution is to hanker after Krishna and lament for Krishna. That's our solution. Our solution is not just, you know, kama sarveshu bhuteshu. And one who's hankering after Krishna and lamenting for Krishna is automatically neutral toward the material world. Automatically. Right? If you have nice food to eat, you're not going to be interested in old chemical food, right? How do we get people to stop eating it? We give them prasadam. We don't have to take them through some special, you know, meat detoxification program. We just give them prasadam. And we say, wouldn't you rather have this? We don't have to go through some big program to get people to stop going to the discotheques. We just take them to the kirtan. Say, wouldn't you rather have this? And we don't even have to go through some big program to get people to give up their false ego. We say, wouldn't you rather be a servant to Krishna? Wouldn't you rather be with Krishna? That's our problem. All right, so let's go through this a little. Unfortunately, I did bring it with me on my Kindle, but it's very voluminous. And I was thinking of bringing my computer, but then you have this screen between you. All right, so Rupa Goswami first starts explaining how this Madana and Mohana is a combination that's really right in my eyes. How it's a combination of unlimited happiness and unlimited suffering mixed together. And this is, of course, one of the definitions that also was given by Rupa Goswami, I think it's in Vidugya Madhava, of prema. That it's more sweet than having nectar poured on your head and more bitter than drinking poison at the same time. At the same time. So meeting Krishna is unlimited happiness, but there's a fear of separation. And being separate from Krishna is unlimited suffering, but when you're separate from Krishna, you feel like he's everywhere. Therefore, it's also happiness. And in this connection, I think about the Brihad Bhagavatamrita, where Sanatana Goswami describes how Gopa Kumar is in Vrindavan. Krishna goes to Mathura. And the mature Brahmin said, well, why didn't you go? Why did you stay in Vrindavan? He said, the happiness of separation, the happiness of the pain of separation, he says, dances on the heads of all other happiness. So Rupa Goswami describes that this meeting, this madana, is where at least 5 or 6 or maybe all 8 of the sattvika bhavas, the involuntary expressions of happiness. What are some of them? Crying,
shivering,
peripulation, hair standing on end, being stunned. When they're all happening at once, and in an inflamed state, which is called udipta. This is also described in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. Flaming ecstasy. So there can be just like, smoking ecstasy, little flamed and then inflamed. So if a devotee has like just slight ecstasies, they can kind of hide it, but at a certain point they can't hide it anymore. So inflamed ecstasies, they can't hide it anymore. But then he says that in separation, there's sudipta, not just udipta. But sudipta. Su means very, especially. And there, Rupa Goswami says, all 8 sattvic bhavas are there, multiplied 1,000 times. And all visible at once. So, this then has been divided, as we read here, into the 2 categories of udgurna, unsteadiness. So this udgurna, unsteadiness, Rupa Goswami describes as fainting, even when you're being embraced by somebody else. And he gives the example of Krishna's being embraced by the queens of Dwarka, and he starts thinking about, how much the gopis in Vrindavan love me. And even while the Dwarka queens are embracing him, he faints. So this is udgurna in separation. Also enduring suffering for Krishna's happiness. Rupa Goswami gives the example where the gopis say, if Krishna is happier in Mathura, then we will live without him. Then disturbing the universe. This is also udgurna. And the example is given that Radharani is saying the fire of separation in her heart is so great that if it would come out of her mouth, or knows, the whole universe would be destroyed. But Rupa Goswami says sometimes when she breathes, a little smoke from that fire comes out of her nose and starts burning the vegetation in the area. And another symptom of Urdgurna is animals weeping. An example that Rupa Goswami gives is Radharani is singing a song that sounds like crying. Again, we have some example of that in this world, right? We call that singing the blues. And people who like to play, my baby left me. But when Radharani sings the blues, the fish and the water birds cry. So I don't think that's ever happened when these blues play B.B. King and you were old enough. When he sang the blues, the fish and the birds didn't cry. And then the last symptom of Udgurna is wanting the elements of one's body to serve Krishna. Let me die. I can't tolerate being separated. Let me die and let the elements of my body serve Krishna. So Radharani is saying, let the fire element of my body become the light in Krishna's mirror. Let the earth element in my body be the path under his feet. Let the air element in my body be in the chamara, fanning him. And then when separation becomes even more intense, even further Udgurna, as Radharani is wandering around Vrindavan and she just dresses herself up and decorates with flowers, thinking, oh, Krishna's here. Right, we hear that with Mother Yasoda and Nanda Maharaj. And Mother Yasoda is yelling at Krishna, just like these Chitrajapa, these crazy talks. So she's yelling at Krishna, at Nanda Maharaj. She's yelling at Nanda Maharaj, what a useless husband you are! This is the original of the, you know, perverted arguments between husband and wife. So she's yelling, what a useless husband you are that you left Krishna in Mathura. I told you not to come back without him, and you promised me you wouldn't come back without him, but you did anyway. Useless, useless. He says, you crazy woman. Krishna's right here. Why are you talking like this? Don't you see him? So this is crazy talking. And Udgurna, so also Radharani, she in this Udgurna, she thinks Krishna's there. She starts decorating herself, decorating the bowers. And then she criticizes dark clouds. And she just staggers out of the darkness. Where is Krishna? So that's Udgurna. Now we're going to go to this Chitra Japa. Crazy talking. So the general definition of Chitra Gupta is excessive chatter in great deep anger. This is also fascinating, right? Trividam narakasyedam dvara nasadam atmana kam krodas tatasloba tasmare tvatvayam tvajet. Every sane person should give up this lust, anger, and greed. They destroy the soul. But anger is also one of the 12 rasas. There is some original form of anger. And filled with bhava, spoken in the presence of your lover's friend, and ending with intense longing. So that's the general definition of this Chitra Japa. I'm going to look at these 10 limbs of Chitra Japa. So the first is Prajapa, which Rupa Goswami describes as rough words filled with envy, hatred, and pride. And again, we have this like, what is going on? But this hatred, pride, envy, the things that destroy us in this world, have a spiritual counterpart. And indications of insult. So again, that's one of the symptoms of the mode of ignorance. You're very expert at insulting others. But here we find Radharani is very expert at insulting Krishna. This song of the beings are very expert in insults. She even brings up things from the past. You know, like using an argument between boyfriend, girlfriend, husband, and wife. And 10 years ago, you said.
Shiva does that. But this is all sweet. It's all full of love. It's not full of ahankara. Otherwise, everything's boring, yes?
Oh, I love you. I love you too. Oh, and I love you too. Oh, and I love you too. And I love you too. And we love each other too. And we love each other. Yes, I love you. You love me. We are happy eternally in love.
That's boring. Well, there's these varieties of emotions. All right. So hopefully we'll get this right. Let's see, this is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Oh, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Aha! We're right. Okay. Sorry, as I said, I didn't have that much time to prepare. Spend about 2 or 3 hours. All right, so this prajapa, this is exemplified in this first verse of the Brahmāra Gītā. The gopi said, "O honeybee, O friend of a cheater, don't touch my feet with your whiskers, which are smeared with the kumkuma that rubbed onto Krishna's garland when it was crushed by the breasts of a rival lover. Let Krishna satisfy the women of Mathura. One who sends a messenger like you will certainly be ridiculed in the Yadu's assembly." That's prajapa. Rough words, envy, hatred, and pride, and insult. Then we have parijapa. This reveals cleverness and wit by revealing the lover's cruelty, cunningness, unsteadiness, etc. So here's a verse that exemplifies this. After making us drink the enchanting nectar of his lips only once, Krishna suddenly abandoned us, just as you might quickly abandon some flowers. Remember, she's talking to a bee. How is it then that Goddess Padma willingly serves his lotus feet? Alas, the answer must certainly be that her mind has been stolen away by his deceitful words. So this is again revealing the lover's cruelty, cunning, and unsteadiness in cleverness and wit. Then we have Vijalpa. This is defined by Rupa Goswami as leering statements directed to Krishna with evident indignation and deep pride. So that's this one. Obi! Why do you singer so much about the Lord of the Yadus in front of us homeless people? These topics are old news to us. Better you sing about that friend of Arjuna in front of his new girlfriends, the burning desire in whose breast he is now relieved. Those ladies will surely give you the charity you are begging. So that, again, was leering statements directed to Krishna with evident indignation and deep pride. Then we have Ujjalpa, which is abusing Krishna with indignation for his deception through jealousy and pride. That is, in heaven, on earth, or in the subterranean sphere, what women are unavailable to him? He simply arches his eyebrows and smiles with deceptive charm, and they all become his. That supreme goddess herself worships the dust of his feet. So what is our position in comparison? But at least those who are wretched can chant his name, Uttamasloka. So that's abusing Krishna with indignation for his deception through jealousy and pride. Then we have Sanjalpa. This is about Krishna's ungratefulness with sarcasm and censure. That's also interesting because one of Krishna's qualities is that he's very grateful. Krishna's so grateful that if you say his name one time, even in joking, you get a good human birth. So you can be a criminal, and at one time you see the Harinam party and you say, "Oh, look at those Hare Krishnas." You get a good human birth. That's how grateful Krishna is. But here, this is in madness. She's calling him ungrateful. So here is this one example. "Keep your head off my feet. I know what you're doing. You expertly learned diplomacy from Mukunda, and now you come as his messenger with flattering words. But he abandoned those who for his sake alone gave up their children, husbands, and all other relations. He's simply ungrateful. Why should I make up with him now? We've given everything to him, and he simply left." All right, next is Abhijalpa. Unadvisable to be attached to Krishna because of his hard nature, lust, cheating behavior with fear.
Of course, Rupa Goswami gives a verse like this too. Don't be attached to Govinda. Don't go to Govinda who is playing his flute on the bank of the Jamuna, because you lose all your material attachments. Sometimes we warn people like this when they first come to Krishna consciousness. Be careful if you start chanting Hare Krishna. Ravindra Srupu talked about this, how he first started chanting Hare Krishna, and immediately he lost all desires to smoke. And he said that he stopped chanting. He thought, what am I chanting? What power is in this mantra that I just give up my material attachments? So don't be advised to Hare Krishna. So here she's bringing up the past. She says, like a hunter, he cruelly shot the king of the monkeys with arrows. Who is that? Because he was conquered by a woman, he disfigured another woman who came to him with lusty desires.
Shripanika.
And even after consuming the gifts of Bali Maharaj, he bound him up with ropes as if he were a crow. So what incarnation is that? So I also find it interesting that we say how the residents of Vrindavan, they don't know that Krishna is God. But they sort of know. They're like, you know. But it's interesting how they know. They're not, oh, you're Vamana, you're Ramchandra, you're Matsya. They're like, yeah, we know you. You're Vamana. You begged 3 paces of land from Bali Maharaj, and then you took the whole universe, and because you did that in only 2 paces, and you were, you know, such a rascal, that then you bound him up after you took everything. You disfigured Shripanika. Even though you were Kshatriya, you were supposed to accept any woman, and still you disfigured her. So you were too attached to that Sita. And as Kshatriya, you're supposed to fight openly, but you killed Bali from behind the tree. We know all about you. There's many, many lifetimes you've been cheated and rascal. Not only this one. She says, so let us give up all friendship with this dark complexion boy, even if we can't give up talking about him. This is the chutney, too sweet to resist, too hot to bear. So Krishna may be so naughty and difficult, but he's so sweet. But he's so sweet. Even if he abandons us here in Vrindavan and Gotamath, we can't stop talking about him. As Gopakumaras, even this so-called abandonment by Krishna, it creates a happiness that dances on the heads of all other happiness. So while they're steamingly criticizing him, they're relishing this criticism. Just like the elderly gopis, they come to Mother Yasoda, oh, Krishna's stealing our butter and yogurt, and he's urinating on the floor. But they were enjoying these talks. And they said, no, just see his sweet face, look at him. She says, well, should I take away his jewels so we can't see the butter and yogurt in the darkness? Oh, no, don't do that. Don't take away his jewels. Okay, next one. Abhijalpa. Which Rupa Goswami describes as remorseful statement to give up Krishna because he inflicts pain on those who have renounced everything for him. So that is, to hear about the pastimes of Krishna regularly performed, to hear about the pastime that Krishna regularly performs is nectar for the ears. For those who relish just a single drop of that nectar even once, their dedication to material duality is ruined. We don't advertise this too much. We don't go out in our preaching programs and say, if you just relish one drop of Krishna consciousness, your attachment to material duality will be ruined. Many such persons have suddenly given up their wretched homes and families, and themselves becoming wretched, traveled here to Vrindavan to wander about like birds, begging for their living. People criticize us for that, right? Giving up everything, just living in ashram. Then Abhijalpa, discussing the crooked nature of Krishna that gives sorrow, whereas others give happiness, with disgust. The verse for this is, faithfully taking his deceitful words as true, we became just like the black deer's foolish wives who trust the cruel hunter's song. Thus we repeatedly felt the sharp pain of lust caused by the touch of his nails. O messenger, please, talk about something besides Krishna. So again, here we see again the reality of which there's the perversion that Lord Kapiladev says, ordinary woman who gets attached to an ordinary man, if she thinks, oh, this man, he's the source of my money, my home, my children. He said then the man becomes like the singing of the hunter that captures the deer. Sometimes we think that the Shastra is just full of warnings to men not to be attached to women. There's also warnings to women not to be attached to men. So this idea that the feeling that this man is my protector, he's my provider, that this mentality for a woman, then the man becomes like a hunter calling the deer to its death. But there is an original form of this where Radharani is saying, Krishna, you're like the hunter, and I'm like the deer, and you've called me to my death. And we're just feeling, all we're feeling is pain. So let's talk about something else. Let's go to something else. But you can't go to something else. Again, we have that in this world, that a person's in this world, that we become attached to people who are unsuitable or cruel and leave us and desert us and disappoint us. But we can't give up our attachment for them, and it simply pains us. But there is some reality of that. That's full of sweetness. And the tragic heroine, the tragic hero. And there's this intensely, what did Rupa Goswami say? Ink multiplied, the Satvika Bhavas multiplied by thousands and thousands of times, is in this crazy talk of separation. Alright, then we have Pratijalpa, humble statements of respect for the messenger, along with refusal to meet Krishna. And this is the verse. Oh, friend of my dear one, has my beloved sent you here again? Now, Prabhupada, in the Krishna book, talks about the Radharani's been criticizing Krishna, and then the bee flies away a little bit. And she thinks, oh no, oh no. Now he went to Krishna and told him all my insulting words. Now he said to Krishna, all the cruel things I said about him. Oh no. Now Krishna's going to be hurt and offended. And then the bee flies back. Oh, no, no, he came back, he came back. All right, I have another chance. And then she says, oh, friend of my dear one, Priyasaka, has my beloved sent you here again? I should honor you, friend. So please choose whatever boon you wish. Wouldn't that be nice if Radharani said that to you? Mm-hmm. Please choose whatever boon you wish. But why do you come back here to take us to him, whose conjugal love is so difficult to give up? After all, gentle bee, his consort is the goddess Shri, and she is always with him, staying upon his chest. So she's saying, you've come to take us back, but how can we go back? And then Sujalpa, asking about Krishna with simplicity, gravity, humility, unsteadiness, and eagerness. This is the last one. Oh, Uddhava, it is indeed regrettable that Krishna resides in Mathura. Does he remember his father's household affairs and his friends, the coward boys? Oh, great soul! Does he ever talk about us, his maidservants? When will he lay on our heads his guru-scented hands? So this is the end of her. Krishna is driving us crazy, but we love him. When will he come back? When will he come back? When will he come back? And that's the description of Mohana, and then there's a description of Madana. Madana, again, is the intoxication of meeting. And I'm sorry, I got really tired, and I didn't take too many notes on this. I had to go to bed. Rupa Goswami mentioned some of the categories of this Madana, the ecstasy of meeting. He said one is hatred of inanimate objects. So Radharani is hating the flowers embracing Krishna that are getting in the way. And praise for anyone who has a slight contact with Krishna, that she's praising the aborigine women who are just taking the kumkum from Krishna. And she's praising the jasmine that's embracing the tamal tree. She's saying, oh, you lucky jasmine, you get to embrace the tamal tree, because sometimes Radharani also embraces the tamal tree thinking it's Krishna. And Rupa Goswami says, as also Mahaprabhu is saying here, that in this meeting there's thousands and thousands and thousands of continuous pastimes. So this is our amazing science of, as was termed here, life's ultimate goal. materialistic people in general, they think that all there is the happiness of this world. And frankly, most people in Kali Yuga are not so interested in religion and spirituality because they see it just as a negation. Okay, if I give up kama, krodha, sattva, I give up lust, anger, and greed, I give up all illusion, I give up all madness, I give up all ordinary village talk, what's left? Silent peace. Anybody want to just have silent peace forever? Right? So other religious systems, they describe some sort of activities that maybe God's in a cloud on a big throne with people playing harps. Huh? Oh, the 72 virgins. Well, that's actually the material memories. We describe that kind of thing too. Well, they don't get the reward of buildings, but anyway. So is God just in a cloud, you know, with people in harps saying, Gloria, Gloria, Gloria? And he's kind of bored, you know. He's just there on the throne. All right, who's the next one? Mr. Smith, all right, bring him up, bring him up. Okay, turn on the video. Let's see Mr. Smith's life. Oh, look at that, look at that. You stole the candy bar. We have it all on tape. You looked at that beautiful woman in the shopping center. We saw you do it. Actually, I saw the funniest thing in Bahrain. It was really funny. You know, the Muslim women there walk around with big black bags over them. Now they do, those big black bags. Some of them have a little slit that they look at, you know. Like they do in the army, if like in the forts. Right? They would put the guns on the little slits. So there were these two ladies walking around in these big black bags. Oh, you know, you can't see anything with bags. I mean, you see that like that walking down the street. And in these countries, there's a lot of Indian men there. That they're usually either they're not married or their wives are back in India or Pakistan or Sri Lanka where they try to make some money. So there was the same Indian man there, and he saw these basically two black bags with feet walking down the street, and he's checking them out. You know, and I'm thinking, how do you check out the black bags? It was sort of ludicrous. So it's not like God does that, you know, okay, here's the video of your life, here's where you checked out the ladies in the black bags on the streets of Bahrain, you know, here's where you did this, and you yelled at your kid, and whatever, you know, you kicked the cat, okay, you go to hell. Oh, and you said you believed in me, you go to heaven, and that's all God does. You know, they think that that's all he does. But we're fascinated in this world with these stories, huh? Of romance and anguish and tragedy and meeting and separation, aren't we? Aren't we fascinated by them?
Yes.
It's one of the main plots, you know, of movies and books. Boy meets girl, boy loses girl, boy meets girl again. Yes, you've all heard of that? Any of you took a class in literature in school? It's one of the eternal plots. And we'll watch it over and over and over and over and over again, right? How many thousands of movies and books that people written with the same theme. Boy and girl meet, boy and girl separate, boy and girl meet again. Because ultimately we don't just want peace. We want peace in terms of the material things, that's for sure. We don't want to work. Being controlled by the modes of material nature is not fun. Being a puppet of goodness, passion, and ignorance is really not fun. So we would like to be free of that and have peace for that and equilibrium towards that. But we don't just want to stay in peace. We want to enter into the real exciting, and it's exciting. It's heart-wrenching. Rasa. Rasa is full of, this is the Saibaba section. Rasa is full of these emotions and relationships and coming and going. And that's what we really want. And this is bhakti. This is bhakti, my dear friends. Bhakti is not detachment. Bhakti is attachment. And naturally, when one becomes attached, one becomes detached from the other. Naturally. Who is going to be attached anymore to some movie star's meeting and separation from another movie star if we can relish Radha Krishna's meeting and separation? Who's going to have some interest, you know, in the madness of the football players when one can have, right? That's why people go to the games, isn't it? They become crazy, don't they? Don't they become crazy in the games? My granddaughter just recently moved into the Krishna house in Gainesville, Florida. And I was talking with her yesterday. And she said, "Grandma, this is the first time I've been in some place where everybody's into a sports team." She said, "All the people, because they're right by the university. They distribute prasadam to the university students and they're preaching to the university students. It's a place for people to live while they go to university." And she said, "Everyone at the university, they're just like, you know, yay, our team. She said, "They're all crazy." So who's going to be interested in that kind of craziness? Hit the ball, hit the ball! I had once at a devotee's house and the other kid was watching one of these games and he started yelling at the television. It was really funny. I walked past him, he was the only one in the room. And I don't know what happened to the game, but he jumped out of his seat and he started shaking his fist. No, hit the ball, hit the ball! So who's going to be interested in that madness when you can hear Radharani yelling at the bumblebee? "You messenger of cheer! We know how he shot Polly from behind the tree. We're not having anything to do with it. Why did you come back? Are you going to take us? Who's got, you know, we're interested in that. And we're not going to be interested in the other madness." So this is our process of bhakti. So, anyway, not that I understand any of this, but still, it's very nice if we can just touch a little bit by the grace of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and by the grace of Srila Prabhupada, who brought to the world, even to people like me, this Chaitanya, Charitamrita. So, questions, comments, additions, subtractions? Yes,
I have two questions.
Yes.
First, I'm reading now Bhakti Rasamrita Sutra, translated by Bhagavan Maharaj.
Yes.
And I was amazed how deep it is. And how, how much realization of what was going to bring into this book.
Yes.
So I was wondering if Bhakti Rasamrita Sutra is deeper than Chaitanya Charitamrita.
I wouldn't say you could really talk about deeper, but if you take these chapters of Mahaprabhu talking to Sanatana Goswami, again, I don't know why it's Mahaprabhu talks to Sanatana Goswami, ends up in the books of Rupa Goswami. Maybe somebody who's a scholar can answer that question. But if you take this section of Majjhalila, you'll see a point-to-point parallel to the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, and in this case, to the Ujjwala Nilamani. I don't know if you could say it's deeper, but there's more detail. Just like here, all we're reading is Brahmara Gita Dasha Sloka Tahate Pramana. The evidence is the 10 verses from the Brahmara Gita, which is what I was just reading from the Bhagavatam. But that's it. Then Mahaprabhu goes on to the next verse. He just says that. Whereas what Rupa Goswami does in Ujjwala Nilamani is he takes each of these, like, here, Mahaprabhu doesn't even list them. He just says, Chitra Japara Dasa Anga. There's 10 Angas of Chitra Japa. And these are evidenced by the 10 verses of the Brahmara Gita. That's all he says. Then Prabhupada in the purport, referencing Ujjwala Nilamani, just gives a list. Then you have to go to Ujjwala Nilamani, which is what we did today in class. And we looked at how does Rupa Goswami define each of those. There's not a one English word equivalent, but there's a definition. And then Rupa Goswami gives the evidence, just like we read the verses from the Bhagavatam, of those 10 verses. Then you also have the commentary of Jiva Goswami and Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur to the Ujjwala Nilamani and to the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. So if you go to these verses in the Ujjwala Nilamani, which again, if you want to go there from Bhagavan Swami's translation, it's in the Sai Baba Prakara, and it's 6171 to 228. And you can read there in the commentary, they're taking these verses of the Brahmada Gita and then they're further analyzing them. So I don't know if you want to say deeper, but certainly more detailed. There's certainly more detail, certainly expanded. And we're all supposed to do that. Just like, what is this class for? Why do we take the verses and purports and then we give a class on them? So we're supposed to take them and expand them further. And more detail, expanding further, because they're They're like that. That you can keep unpacking them and unpacking forever. And there is more and more and more and more detail in that. Yes.
Well, I mean, you've probably heard it before, but from a scholarly point of view, the Sikh Goswami was supposed to legitimize the teachings of Lord Chaitanya.
Mm.
So in that sense, he gave him the basis, and then he just filled it in so that people would believe him, because like he was saying, they didn't understand that what Lord Chaitanya was. So Lord Chaitanya didn't know who he was, and everybody else that was close to him, but he wanted, like you said, it to go to the Ryanair airport.
Right. And what's really amazing to me is that we can give these books to people in the airports, and they'll read them and become devotees of Krishna. That's pretty amazing, I think. Who would think? And Prabhupada was criticized for that by his godbrothers, by the way, very much. Why are you going to people who don't have any pious background and weren't born in Brahmin families, and you're giving them, you know, Upadeshamrita, and you're giving them Chaitanya Charitamrita. And Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. Nectar Devotion was a book that Srila Prabhupada produced very, very early in the movement. One of the first books that was produced. Yes?
My second question is, we spoke about Ujjwal Nilamani.
Yes.
And I read a few times ago, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta was always asking his disciples to not read this book particularly. So I was wondering why we speak about it, and is it not...
Well, I don't think we can help speaking about it, first of all, when Prabhupada's referencing it in the purport. So I don't know which disciples he was telling not to read it.
Basically, most of them.
Yes?
Hesitation about if this text is going to come to people unqualified to read it. And then after some time you're saying that actually it's okay, they will not be able to understand it anyway.
I said, what could make me more happy if they're not qualified to understand it?
Right.
And it's a relief for me. She said, I don't want to say these things because I know they're very confidential, but I can't help it. I have to say these things. And he was actually asking for forgiveness.
Yeah, it's also interesting in the talks between Mahaprabhu and Ramananda Roy that Lord Chaitanya covers Ramananda Roy's mouth, but then Ramananda Roy speaks anyway. And it's all been recorded for us. So, I mean, also, I find it incomprehensible that this knowledge is given now in Kali Yuga to people who were coming from backgrounds of meat eating and intoxication. I don't really understand that. Because generally, this is not given. Generally, what's given to people is, okay, attain to Brahman or attain to Vaikuntha in a very general way. Now, you can see most of the religious systems on the planet, this isn't there. Or it's there very indirectly. You know, there's something in the Song of Solomon, and there's some very, very indirect hints, but it's not really given. I mean, there's, in the Jewish Kabbalah, there's descriptions of God as the moon cowherd boy. But you're only allowed to read that if you're a 40-year-old or older rabbi. You know, it's not for the general public. And then you have in Catholicism, you know, St. Teresa of Avila in Spain 500 years ago, and St. John of the Cross, you know, they're writing about Madhurya Prema. But they were persecuted. You know, it wasn't mainstream Catholicism. And even today, although people read their works, it's still not mainstream Catholicism. You know, if you're going to go into the Catholic seminary, I'm sure you read St. Teresa of Avila's book, The Interior Mansions. I'm sure it's one of the books that they read. But you won't hear that a Catholic priest preaching such things from the pulpit. And she talks about separation in the sixth mansion. And she talks about that this pain of separation is so great that it eclipses all other pains. And she said, I know it's not of the devil because it's exquisite pain. She said, it's full of happiness. She said, the devil cannot give pain like this. This sweet pain. So it's there. It's not that it's not there, but it's not available. It's not open. Whereas here, it's very open. You know, it's right out front. And how is it that this such a high thing is given right out front? But we should be very careful. We should be very careful because it's also quite possible to misuse it. You know, when you have something very, very valuable, you have to take good care of it. Like when we were in Bahrain, we read, they have, Bahrain is one of the few places in the world where you can get natural pearls. Where you can get natural pearls. It used to be all the pearls in the world were natural pearls. And then someone came up with a way to culture pearls. Culture pearls means you take a big glass bead, big plastic bead, put it in the oyster, and the oyster covers it with a little, very thin layer of nacre. So it used to be you had to say pearls meant real pearls, and if it was cultured, you had to say cultured pearls. But now cultured pearls have become the norm. So now if you say pearls, it's cultured, and if it's real, you have to say real. Like it used to be, if you said orange juice, that meant real. And if it was chemical or adulterated, it had to say imitation. Now the chemical or adulterated says orange juice, and the real has to say real. That used to be all the fruits and vegetables were organic. Okay. Now, that's ordinary, is with the pesticides and the fertilizer, artificial fertilizer, it has to say organic. So anyway, in Bahrain, they have genuine pearls, and legally you're not allowed to sell any cultured pearls in that country. It's against the law to sell cultured pearls. So we went into one shop, and they showed us a necklace worth $500,000 for one pearl necklace. Just imagine. So something that valuable, you know, they have it in a special box, and they took it out and showed us. They were very proud of their millions of dollars worth of pearls. But you keep it very carefully, right? As Jesus said, don't throw your pearls before a swine. I mean, of course, when Krishna grew pearls in his garden, he put them even on the female monkeys. But Bhaktivinoda Thakur says that a female monkey doesn't look very beautiful even if covered with ornaments. But the unfortunate thing is that people take these, you know, million-dollar pearls and they just ruin them. They just say, oh, okay, let's dress up like gopis and, yeah. Let's have our own Rasleela. You're my gopi, you know, Krishna. They ruin everything. And so because of that, in most systems, this knowledge is hidden. But the problem is that when it's hidden, how are people going to become attracted? If this knowledge is hidden, then people will stay attracted to the material world. Why would I want to go to heaven and just sit in a cloud and say, Gloria, Gloria, while God condemns people to hell for stealing bubble gum? You know, when I can watch some romance movie in this world. Right? And that's what people think. I'd rather have my miserable romance in this world than my miserable wars and just reading about Krishna fighting with Jarasandhara, the rivers of blood. You know, I'd rather my miserable wars and my miserable romances in this world rather than just sitting on cloud with some very judgmental God who sends people to hell eternally for stealing bubble gum. You know? So without giving this knowledge, how will people become attracted? So sometimes when people are very sick, then they give the strongest medicine, huh? Even at a risk. People are very, very sick. They may give them strong medicine that has a risk. Because nothing else will save them. So at the present time, if you tell people, just be pious, they'll say, why? Why should I be pious? That's some old fogey religion. And if you tell people, just find peace and equanimity, if I like peace and equanimity, you know, I want my new iPhone. Therefore, you give them the best medicine, the highest. All right, thank you very much. Prabhupada ki jai, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ki jai, Rupa Goswami, Sanatana Goswami ki jai.